Good morning, everyone. The forces of NATO, I suspect there's no need to remind you, are hard at work in Afghanistan, chasing al-Qaeda and attempting to maintain order in a nation of many tribes and many factions. Here's a voice from a NATO adventure in Europe nearly a decade ago.
Much will depend on President Milosevic's future. He's an indicted war criminal. I expect to see him in The Hague on trial. But he also has his hand still on the sinews of power in Serbia.
That's former Supreme Commander of NATO, General Wesley Clark, talking about the events of 1999 when NATO confronted Serbia's Slobodan Milosevic in a conflict over Kosovo. General Clark's successes militarily in Serbia were followed up in the private sector as a consultant. He was a candidate for president in 2004 and joins us this morning as part of America's briefing book for the new President Barack Obama, someone he endorsed for president. General Clark, thanks for being a part of the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So I guess my first question is, what do you make of the apparent appointment of Robert Gates to be the head of the security team, Secretary of Defense, for the Barack Obama administration? Is continuity that important versus setting the tone for a new vision in a new administration?
Well, I think this appointment might do both. I think it certainly sets a tone of bipartisanship. It sets a tone of pragmatism in dealing with the problems we face, a non-ideological approach to the world. I think that's very, very important. Bob Gates is a good man. He's done a good job as Secretary of Defense by the accounts of the people who work for him, as well as by the accounts in the media and the record on the ground. He's been in the job really only 2 years. So it's not as though we're asking for somebody to do something unnatural here. So for him to stay another year, to transition this new administration is a smart move. I think he's a big enough, mature enough man. He'll be loyal to a new commander-in-chief.
And 2 years is perhaps not enough time to deal with the aftermath of Donald Rumsfeld, as you and some other military analysts have suggested. I guess the question then is, are the security challenges for America perhaps less important than the managing of the enormous sort of Pentagon and national security bureaucracy in the United States, which has really inflated in the period during George W. Bush to be almost the largest single institution controlling the spending of the U.S. government?
Well, I'm not sure I can agree with the last assessment, but I would say that there is a management challenge for the Pentagon in terms of being able to what we call reset the ground forces. Both the Army and the Marine Corps have been pushed really hard. The equipment's been damaged. It's a $120 billion program, maybe more, to get the dust out and rebuild and retool things and get the force ready to go again. And, of course, we're paying that bill on the installment basis, week by week, month by month, because the equipment's literally deteriorating in service, and we don't know how long that'll go on. But that's a big challenge. The people are tired, but I think if you look at this volunteer force, it is absolutely extraordinary how well it's held up. I don't think there's another military establishment in the world, and I certainly have great deference to my friends in the UK. You kind of set us on the pattern of a volunteer force a long time ago, and we've learned a lot from the UK's military. But I'm very proud of the men and women in the American Armed Forces. They've done an extraordinary job with some really heavy sacrifices of time and commitment and loss and the risk that's entailed. It's been remarkable, and
I think
he's going to sustain that by showing his appreciation. I think we are going to come out of Iraq, and I think we'll have a winning strategy for Afghanistan.
Well, I certainly didn't mean to suggest that the bureaucratic challenges within the Pentagon outweigh the security challenges for the United States. It's just certainly instructive to see how formidable the Pentagon and the whole war on terror infrastructure has become in the last 8 years. And so the question then becomes, what are the external security challenges as you see them for the new president, Barack Obama?
Well, it seems to me that you've got to get the right way out of Iraq. I think this agreement, this accord between Iraq and the United States is positive, but it's not the final answer because that'll be determined by the conditions on the ground. We're going to have a strategy for Afghanistan that works. I've given my thoughts into some people on his team on this, but basically we've got to use the non-military elements of power more, and we've got to find a way to reach political agreements inside countries that curtail fighting.
On the troop agreement,
win these wars by just killing people.
On the troop agreement in Iraq, do you think a 3-year deadline, which is what's envisioned, is too much time, or less than enough, or just enough time for the remainder of the U.S. occupation?
Well, I'd like to see us out sooner, but the fact that there's a 3-year timeline doesn't mean you can't come out sooner. It only means that they'd like us to be able to say we're not staying longer.
Right. A lot of people that we've spoken to about Afghanistan, and you raised the point a moment ago, suggested that while a policy shift from Iraq to Afghanistan makes a certain amount of sense, they cautioned that the complexity of Afghanistan far outweighs the complexity on the ground in Iraq. Would you agree with that assessment?
I do agree with that.
And in what sense do we have to worry?
You've got to work the diplomacy of South Asia to be able to resolve this issue. Pakistan needs a strategic rear area. So they're always going to want to encroach into Afghanistan as long as they're confronting what they perceive to be a threatening India. Afghanistan is a derivative of those perceptions in many respects. So in the middle of that, Pakistan's got to have economic growth. It's got to have political development. It's got to be given some breathing space to get its democratic institutions in order, and it's fighting basically a full-fledged counterinsurgency campaign in the northwest, in the frontier area.
And certainly there's a complexity on the external diplomatic side, and as we've seen this weekend, violence in South Asia. General Wesley Clark, we're going to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this morning.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
General Wesley Clark is a senior fellow at UCLA's Burkle Center for International Relations and serves on the International Crisis Group. He's the former Supreme Commander of NATO during the Clinton administration. Thank you, General.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.